bid you welcome again. It's already been done, but express appreciation for your being here. Always good to get together, and so let me just express that my appreciation for your desire to be here, not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but to involve ourselves as a congregation in giving praise to God. So we're very thankful for your attendance today. As Dennis said in his scripture reading this morning, it's an Old Testament story, one that you're very familiar with, and the title of our lesson comes directly from the text that was read. The text takes us back to the story of God sending Moses to deliver the Israelites out of the bondage that they experienced in Egypt. And God wants Moses to march them out of Egypt into the promised land. The bondage took place because the Egyptians were afraid that the Israelites would turn against them. So therefore they put them in bondage. The story goes back to really the first chapter of Exodus when there's a new king in Egypt that didn't know Joseph. And so he saw the number of the Israelites increasing, and he says, oh, this doesn't look good. They may one day outnumber us and overtake us, so let's put them in bondage. Remember, the Israelites had to come down to Egypt because of a famine in their land, and Egypt had made preparations for the famine. So they were all down in Egypt because of that. When the Egyptians put them in bondage, I put a definition in your notes. You're in bondage, you're enslaved, or to hold captive, or to be held in service to another. I want to read that story again and just highlight a couple of verses. Now that they are in bondage, God appears to Moses. So God spoke to Moses that I am the Lord. That I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name Lord, or the name Jehovah, I was not known to them. I've also established my covenant with them, the covenant being, and he mentions it right in the text, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. Oh. And I remembered my covenant. So God says to Moses, this is what I want you to say to Israel. I am the Lord. I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. That's our lesson. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. In this verse, or beginning with this verse, there are seven times God says what he would do. Each phrase begins with the two words, I will. Now listen carefully to them. First one in verse 6. I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great judgments. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. He said that twice now, hasn't he? Want to be sure that lesson gets across. In verse 8, I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses so spake to the children of Israel. But sad to say, the verse continues, they did not heed See, before the birth of Jesus, the angel appeared to Joseph with this message. She shall bring forth a son, meaning Mary. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Or one translation says deliver. Deliver us, save us from our sins or the bondage of sin. Paul makes reference to that in his writings to the churches. In Romans chapter 6, after he talks about the brethren there being baptized, he says, know this. I always like it when a verse says, know this. You know, there's something really important that's going to follow. He says, let me impress this message upon you. Know this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away or destroyed, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Well, that's our lesson. We've been delivered so that we no longer are slaves or in bondage to sin. But now we serve God. When you know that. So here's the story, and I put these in your notes. Six things to remember. Comparative lesson. We said, number one, when God delivers us, we put this in the story, remember who God is. Remember who God is. That's what God says to Moses to tell the Israelites. In verse 2, God spoke to Moses, said to him, I am the Lord. Who are you, God? I'm the Lord. You know, God had just recently revealed himself to Moses in the bush. Remember that? Back in chapter 3, in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. The bush was burning, but the bush was not consumed. Then verse 4 says, God called to Moses from the midst of the bush. Moses, remember who you're talking, who's talking to you. It's God. So now God reveals his name to Moses a little bit later in the story. If we kept reading in the chapter, in verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, this is what you'll say to the children of Israel. The I Am has sent you. Verse 14 of the same chapter, chapter 6 of Exodus. God, who are you? I'm the I Am. I'm the Jehovah. I'm Lord. You know, what I say, I can do. I can deliver. Well, our deliverance begins with God too, just as it did with the Israelites in bondage. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We want deliverance. We need to find out who God is. Remember that. Beginning of wisdom, fear of the Lord. Good understanding have all those who do his commandments. In Psalm 4 verse 4, it says, stand in awe of God. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, fear not those who kill the body. Well, I still have a little bit of fear of those who might threaten my body. But there's a greater fear that should be in you and me. Jesus said it, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Our conversion, our deliverance, begins with our remembrance of God, that he's Lord. And remember what God has done. Ties in with number one. But that's what God did with Moses. He said, Moses, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. See, Moses gets a history lesson. God takes him back 450 years. So Moses, God is telling Moses, you know, I've been with your fathers, and I'm going to be with you. He said, Moses, you're part of my plan for my people. And that's why I appear to you from the bush, and that's why I'm giving you this message and giving you this charge. Well, our deliverance from sin and its penalty has power because of what God has done. So the Bible story takes us back. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrated. God demonstrated. So when he's writing this, Paul's writing this to the church in Rome, he's taking them back to what God has done. The The Bible says in that text, God demonstrated his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners in bondage, Christ died for us. Then the next interesting phrase, much more than. I mean, there's something better. God demonstrated his love, oh, but much more than. Having now been justified by his blood, that's us, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh, I like that. Saved? Delivered? Yeah. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. And then another phrase, much more. Oh, wait a minute. In the verse, he begins by God demonstrated. Then he takes, oh, thank you, God, I appreciate that. Then much more then, been saved. Now he says, and there's more. There's more, it gets better. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Then it says, and not only that, how much better can it get? Not only that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, there's a remembrance. It was said by the one who led in the Lord's Supper. In his quoting of the scripture and taking us back to that event, he says, we remember as part of our deliverance. We remember. Number three in your notes, remember that God cares. God cares. He said that to Moses in the message to the Israelites in verse 3. I've heard the groaning of the children of Israel. I've heard that. Whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. I hear the cry. I know the struggle. I know the burden you have. I know that. Moses, you're not going to be abandoned in your misery. I'm going to help you. Well, God hears our groaning too. He said, I have good news for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your care on him because he cares for us. Cast your care on him. In John 3, 16, very familiar text, not illustrating the demonstration of God in his love and care for us. God so loved the world of people, that he gave his son. And God cares. Someone does that. You can't eliminate care. Love and concern. God cares. In 2 Peter 1, verse 2, Paul said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We lack nothing spiritually. Nothing. God's given us all things that pertain to life. So, remember that God cares. Number four, remember the promises of God. That's what God told Moses in verse 4 of Exodus 6. I remembered my covenant. I remembered it. So therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Moses and the Israelites needed to know that. They're in bondage. As we get to the end, we've already read at the end of the text, they're so despondent, distressed in bondage, they didn't think there was going to be any relief at all. Why, they didn't even listen to Moses. Oh, no one can get us out of this place. Nobody. So God keeps giving them line after Moses, line after line, and Moses, you tell the Israelites this. They needed to hear it. Remember the promise of God. The Bible says for us, we can believe what God says. In Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. He promised. And God can't lie. Romans 8, verse 1, Paul says, there's now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I believe that. It's a promise of God. When we think about our deliverance, remember God's promise. Number five, remember that God saves. Remember all those I wills? I just read seven of them in the text. In verse 6, there's two of them. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great judgments. I will. And five more times, God tells them what he will do. Well, so I put in your notes. It's not our genius, their goodness, their talents that deliver us from sin's bondage. Was it my idea to believe and be baptized to be saved? Was it my idea or any man's to assemble on the Lord's day to give God worship and praise? Was it my idea to forgive? To march toward the promised land? Was it my idea? Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's all God's part, gracious part of God. By grace are you saved through faith. I believe that God will deliver. It's my belief that God will rescue. It's my belief and my trust and my faith that God will bring me out. It's my faith and it's my trust in what God has provided that I can get from here to the promised land. God didn't ask me for advice. I didn't counsel God concerning the way of salvation. God demonstrated, provided a way for you and for me. He voluntarily gave a son to give you and me what we needed, first of all, and then what we could not provide for ourselves. I can't, and nobody can, come up with a plan that God would accept to have our sins forgiven. We can't. So what we lack, God provided. And we sing the song, Amazing Grace. He did that for me. Sinner. Yeah. So we need to remember God saves. In Titus 2, verse 11, grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all mankind. But I can't just say thank you, God, and go my way. Alas, God expects the right response from you and me, just as he did the Israelites. In verse 9, so Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel. God, you know that message you gave me? I gave to them. Told me exactly what you wanted them to hear. But they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Sometimes you and I may think my sins are too many and they're too wretched and I've committed them for too long. God can't save me. So we don't heed. For some do not heed the message of God. They think God can't do what he said he would. God can't redeem me. Yes, he can. God bring me out. Yes, he can. No matter how far down the line you are, God saves to the uttermost. Those at the end of the line. Jeremiah spoke of being up from the miry clay. And we even sing that song, Love Lifted Me. Out of the miry clay. See? So we need to listen to God's message and believe it. These people were so despondent over their hardship or their plight, they couldn't believe the good news that Moses is delivering. So Moses now again, as the story continues in the next chapter, he reminded them of God's word. And now God put Aaron with Moses. And together with these two men, the lesson is repeated to Israel. And finally, they follow Moses out of bondage and into the promised land. Finally. Same is true for you and me. We need to listen to God's word and do it. Jesus said it in John 14, verse 6. I am. The I am. I am the way, not a way among many. I am the way. That one. The life, not a kind of life among many from which you can choose. Christianity is not a smorgasbord of life. Jesus said, I am not the way, the life, the truth. No man, nobody, comes to the Father but by me. Nobody. We need to listen to this. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, you need to love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. James says, be doers of the word, not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. Someone says, oh, I appreciated the lesson. Well, now we need to apply it. Put it into practice. I appreciate what you said, especially that demonstration of giving your son. Thank you. No. The message continues. Keep my commandments. You know, there's even a song we sing, hymn number 918. I think the writer has captured the thought of this lesson. The title of the song is Out of My Bondage. You can look it up. 918, Out of My Bondage. And the whole song, four stanzas, gives you that comparison. Out of this, into that. Four stanzas worth. Who may sing that song one day? Out of my bondage. Well, that's the lesson today. Just as God said, I'll deliver you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. God said, brethren, or beloved, I can deliver you out. There's a simple plan or a formula. Number one, you need to hear the good news. You need to hear it. That God so loved the world, He gave His Son. Listen to that message. Then you'll need to believe it. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why do I please you, God? Well, I have to have faith. He that comes to God must believe. Believe that He is, and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. Jesus said in John 8, verse 44, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sin. So you need to hear that good news message and believe it. Then, as Jesus said, there's a third step in Luke 13, verse 3 and 5, repent. And then we'll need to confess our faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what Ethiopian did when Philip was riding with him in the chariot. He preached unto him, Jesus. Ethiopian says, here's water. Anything hinder me from being baptized? So if you believe, you may. He made a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Acts chapter 8. And then Philip says, stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. Number five, they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water and the Ethiopian goes down his way rejoicing. So it's a simple step, simple formula or plan to become a Christian. And that's an invitation we extend. If you'd like to follow those steps, do those things, you can be baptized for remission of sin and rise to walk in newness of life. From that point on, begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we sing a song of invitation. So let's stand together and sing that song that says it's selected for us.